Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
A month-long state of emergency has come into force in response to the worsening coronavirus epidemic. The health minister says there are no plans for a lockdown at present, but has appealed to the public to observe the set restrictions. And the government has earmarked funds for 3 million vaccines from AstraZeneca. A month-long state of emergency came into force on midnight Sunday in response to the second wave of COVID-19 infections. The state of emergency, which gives the government greater powers, was declared so as to open the way for faster and more effective measures in the fight against the epidemic. Secondary schools in high-risk areas will close for at least 2 weeks. Indoor events are limited to 10 people, outdoor events to 20. Restaurants must place tables at a safe distance with a maximum of 6 diners at one table. The state of emergency will allow ministries to acquire protective gear without an open competition and enable medical students to help out in hospitals due to the growing number of doctors and nurses who are COVID-19 positive or in quarantine. Health Minister Roman Primula said that at the present time the government has no plans for a lockdown such as are being affected in Israel or Madrid, but warned that if people fail to respect the restrictive measures announced, the government would have to tighten the reins in order to curb the spread of the epidemic. He said the measures would be revised in 10 days depending on the epidemiological situation. The health minister is to present a plan outlining different scenarios and the different measures linked to them on Friday. The government has earmarked 150 million crowns for the purchase of 3 million vaccines against COVID-19 being developed by the company AstraZeneca, the CTK news agency reported. The first delivery is expected sometime at the end of the year. According to Health Minister Roman Primula, the Czech Republic can acquire vaccines for 7 million people altogether via the EU, but wants to leave open the option of buying from other companies as well in the event of problems. AstraZeneca entered a new phase of testing in October. The government will once again ask President Miloš Zeman to raise the head of the country's counterintelligence service, BIS, Michal Koudelka, to the rank of general on the anniversary of Czechoslovakia's founding. Deputy Prime Minister Karel Havlíček told journalists on Monday, the president, who has been highly critical of the work of the counterintelligence service in highlighting the activities of Russian and Chinese agents on Czech territory, has refused to raise Michal Koudelka to the rank of general 4 times already in the past. Other nominees on the government's list are police president Jan Švejdar and the head of the prison service Petr Dohnal. The 1926 painting La Dame de Pique by Czech artist Twayen sold at auction in Prague on Sunday for a record 78.6 million crowns, about 3 million euros, including fees. Twayen, whose real name was Marie Čermínová, joined the Czech avant-garde Devět Sil group in 1923 and moved to Paris 2 years later. She experimented with cubism, surrealism, and a style she called artificialism, a kind of poetic answer to cubism. The previous record auction price for a Czech painting was set by Oskar Kokoschka's Prague View from the Monastery of the Knights of the Cross with a Red Star, which sold for 78.5 million crowns last October. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday should be partly cloudy to overcast, with day temperatures between 14 and 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and a very warm welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, a state of emergency is now in effect due to a strong second wave of COVID-19 infections. A painting by the interwar Czech surrealist Twayen has sold for a record 3 million euros at auction. And we meet the man who has hiked 2,000 kilometers along the Czech Republic's borders. All that's coming up now. So please stay tuned. The Czech Republic began a 30-day state of emergency on Monday in response to a second wave of COVID-19. The higher legal level of alertness not only gives the government more powers, it is also accompanied by the activation of new measures, ranging from the closure of secondary schools in high-risk areas to the limitation of shared seating in restaurants. Tom McEncroe has the details.
September was by far the worst month for the Czech Republic in terms of the fight against COVID-19. The country, which had managed to tackle the first spring wave of the disease with relative success, saw its overall death toll rise by more than 50%, with the number of infected nearly quintupling in the 30-day period. In response, the health ministry has been enacting several waves of measures to curb the spread of the virus. The latest to come into effect at midnight from Sunday to Monday was the state of emergency, a move that grants the government increased powers to enact crisis measures, which was used already once before during the spring outbreak. A new series of measures accompanying the introduction of the state of emergency includes distance learning for high school students, a cap of no more than 10 people allowed to attend indoor events, and a maximum of 20 able to attend those that take place outdoors. Exceptions are in place for members of a single family, work colleagues, businesses, and certain state institutions such as courts. Shared seating in restaurants is limited to 6 people or less. Theatres and cinemas can still house guests of up to 500 people, with only snack breaks being banned. However, Health Minister Roman Primula had bad news for music fans when he explained the Monday measures last week.
Any sort of collective singing, operas, musicals and so forth will be banned for the next 14 days. The reason is that many choirs have gotten infected. Singing is one of the most high-risk activities. We know that the virus spreads especially well when people are singing.
No less than 60 further measures are being considered, according to the health minister. Several opposition leaders have criticised the ad hoc style of government measures, which lack sufficient explanation. In response, Mr. Primula said that he has only been health minister for 2 weeks and that it was impossible to come out with a systemic plan immediately. Nevertheless, speaking on Sunday at a Czech television debate programme, he promised to do so next Friday.
We will present our plan for a long-term system of measures aimed at preventing sudden rises in infections and subsequent immediate changes to what is allowed and what is not.
The health minister said that future measures could include the closure of secondary schools or a change in the parameters of distinguishing between low and high-risk regions in the country. The latter because he fears the whole country may soon be designated as high-risk if the current system of measurement is kept in place.
Tom McEncroe with that report. The 1926 painting La Dame de Pique by the Czech surrealist Toyen sold at auction in Prague on Sunday for nearly 3 million euros, a record high for a work by a Czech artist. She painted it whilst living in Paris at a unique time in her development as an artist in terms of the style, after gravitating away from the artificialism style she had developed with fellow Czech avant-garde painter and collaborator Jindřich Štyrský, and a return to surrealism. Born Marie Čermínová in Prague in 1902, Toyen, a pseudonym derived from the word for citizen in French, joined the Czech avant-garde group Devět Síl, which had a special affinity for French culture, in 1923, and 2 years later moved to Paris, where she spent most of her life. Earlier, I asked Vladimir Lekesh, director of the Adolphe Loos Apartment and Gallery, which sold the painting in auction, just what makes La Dame de Pique, or the Queen of Spades in English, so very special.
By the end of 1925, Toyen's work changed in character. Her paintings became more abstract and with increasingly pronounced presence of geometric shapes, which can be traced back to the influence of the Parisian avant-garde. And the painting La Dame de Pique determined the direction of Toyen's oeuvre because this painting marked the beginnings of Toyen's subsequent weaving of abstract forms with specific shapes, clearly demarcated by sharp lines and with recognizable subject matter.
Okay. So this very painting is emblematic of a change in her style, a dramatic shift.
Yeah, yeah.
The year before, as I understand it, she and her longtime collaborator, Jindrik Styrski, they had a new kind of artistic direction, which they called artificialism, which was kind of a poetic alternative to surrealism.
Sure.
How many other examples from that period in which she produced this La Dame de Pique are there?
Not so many, because this painting is between artificialism's and surrealism's style. And this painting is very attractive with the subject La Dame de Pique, because the La Dame de Pique was the name of the famous novella written by Russian famous poet, writer and playwright Alexander Sergeyevich Pushkin in 1833. And with big probability, the Czech famous poet Vítězslav Nezval involved in choosing of the painting Stajko, the Queen of Spades, mm-hmm. La Dame de Pique.
Was Toyan recognized as a great artist in her lifetime in then Czechoslovakia? That's one question. And the other is, have you noticed a growing interest in her work?
I think the collectors and museum started to collect the Toyan in the, I think, maximally 5 years ago. And next year Toyan will have the big retrospective exhibition in Paris, Prague and Hamburg. And we can expect big interest in future also. I think this is one of the reasons why the Toyan was sold for amazing auction record, practically €3 million.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that because I see that the starting price was just below 30 million crowns and it sold for nearly 79 million crowns. Were you surprised at the ultimate price?
We were very surprised by the achieved price because it's the world auction record for the every painting sold at auction in Czech Republic or in abroad, and it's fantastic price. I can say, but the buyer was foreigner, our client from New York.
Uh-huh. And does your client wish to remain anonymous, or can you describe?
Surely. At this moment, surely.
Okay, so a private collector rather than a museum?
I cannot say at this moment, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe Toyan, together with František Kupka, is one of the most important European artists of the 20th century. And I am sure that Toyan is the same on the same level as, for example, Magritte, or other surrealist painters as Dali and Dominguez and other. And for this reason, I believe that this price is very high but fair in future.
The previous record price for a Czech painting in auction was set by Oskar Kokoschka's Prague, View from the Monastery of the Knights of the Cross with a Red Star, which sold for 78.5 million crowns last October. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, where it's time for our main feature. Today we meet the man who walked 2,000 kilometers all along the Czech Republic's borders. Ruth Frankova caught up with him.
Czech long-distance hiker Jakub Čech planned to accomplish the so-called Triple Crown of Hiking this year. Having already completed the Pacific Crest Trail and the Continental Divide, he was supposed to leave for the United States in March to hike the Appalachian Trail. However, the coronavirus outbreak forced him to change plans, and instead he set off on a journey all the way around the Czech Republic's borders. When I met with Jakub a few weeks after he completed the trip, I first asked him how he got the idea to carry out this project.
This year is supposed to be a year when I will finish my Triple Crown, my third long-distance trail in the United States. And I was supposed to start just 2 weeks after the coronavirus lockdown. So I stood home, and even though I knew that my place is here and I shall stay with my family, I was quite angry, and I originally thought that I should somehow sneak through the borders and do the trail. But when I realized what is happening in the United States, I was glad that I stood home. But after like 2 months sitting home, I realized that I want to hike at least something, because in last 6 years I hiked around 16,000 kilometers, mostly abroad. I found it's a good opportunity to scout my country, to find out how nice it could be here. So that's why.
You started your journey on the Czech Republic's highest mountain, Sněžka. Why did you choose this place as a starting point?
Well, it wasn't originally my idea. Some other girl wrote this idea on Pacific Crest Hikers Facebook page. And Sněžka is somehow symbolic. It's the highest mountain. We share it with Poland. So I found it somehow symbolic. And I started early in the morning with the dawn, and I also had something significant to aim to head to. So that's why.
By the way, do you always start so early in the morning?
I prefer to start early in the morning for many reasons. First is I'm just early bird. I like to hike few miles before I sit for a breakfast. Also in the morning, when the nature is fresh, it's easier to hike than in the sun. So yes, I start very early, and also I go sleep with the sun. So we say that 9 o'clock p.m. is hiker's midnight.
And also, I guess, in case of Czech mountains, which are more populated, you walk alone at least for a few hours.
Right, that's another thing. Not only here, but generally. And I like to enjoy the journey, the trail for myself, at least for a few hours.
Now, can you describe to our listeners the route that you have taken? Because I know that you started in the Krkonoše mountains, mm-hmm. and then you headed towards Jizerské hory, yeah. that means towards
the west.
Yeah. Why did you choose this way and not the other way?
Well, I always try to find some dramaturgy in my journeys. So the mountains on the east are, well, I would say more epic. So I wanted my experience to increase. So that's why I started this way and finished in White Carpathians, Beskydy, Jeseníky, and those mountains, which are really mountains, unlike the mountains on the west, I would say.
In what respect?
Well, they are higher, they are tougher, they are less populated. So that's why.
You covered more than 2,000 kilometers on your journey. Did you set yourself some time limit before you started?
Not this time. There was a lockdown. I had no work. I had no deadline where to finish. So I did it in 50 days, which means I hiked like 40, 43 kilometers per day. But it wasn't a race. I always hate to consider my journey as a race. On the other hand, I like to hike fast, so there was no limit, but I'm glad I did it in 50 days.
So in what way was this Czech journey different from the hikes that you completed in the United States?
I was home. I spoke my language. I met people with whom I could speak about the politics, about the situation here. I met people I like. My girlfriend joined me for a portion of my way. And also, it was like a way through our history, because while I was following the borders, you pass the places with the dark history, places which were closed for many years, which were military area, and you have time to think about the history. And it wasn't always pleasant, I must say.
So, as you say, you walked through your home country, so I assume you knew most of the places that you visited, but still, have you made any discoveries? Have you discovered places you didn't know about?
I would say Jeseníky is a place I don't know very well. There were places where I walked for the first time. And also, I knew the places, but it's a different experience if you visit it for a weekend or if you have to walk there in many weeks, so you see it in different light. And it's very nice to see how the country is changing. You know the places, but you don't know those transitions. So it was a good experience, definitely.
So can you mention some of the places that made the biggest impression on you?
Well, our country is surrounded by a chain of fortresses built in the 30s of 20th century, and they were never used. So you see the effort, the hope put in those fortresses, and this hope was never fulfilled. And also you meet places where people lived, the villages which disappeared, and churches which were ruined, and graves without crosses. And you have to think that in our history we were not only victims, and that we have to talk about bad stuff we did.
And what about places that made a positive impression on you?
I have to say I would end in big depression if I wouldn't met the place called Neratov in Orlické mountains. This is a same village like many others which was destroyed. But in the 90s there was a group of people around local priest who renovated the church, renovated the village. There is many people living there now. There is a small community with disabled people, and they have not only a local shop and restaurant, but also a coffee shop and brewery. And this is a place now with hope. So I believe we can change those locations in something with the future.
I know that you are an advocate of ultralight backpacking. So how much did you actually carry on your back this time?
Mm-hmm. I believe that you needn't struggle when you are hiking, when you are in the mountains. You go there to enjoy it. So I try to carry as less as possible. In this time it was 7 kilos of base weight. It means everything without food and water. So I would say I had no more than 10 kilos on my back. And if you are carrying only the necessities, it frees you. You are not bounded with stuff you have to carry about. And this is something you can transfer in your daily life as well.
I know you also had a chance to test some new gear, specifically the rain kilt. Did it prove to be useful?
Absolutely. I love my rain kilt. It's a small thing, but it's lighter than rain pants. It's easier to put it on. It's breathing. And especially this year, I had a lot of rain, so I was wearing my rain gear a lot, unlike on other trails. And also, I had a new item in my gear, and it was a hammock. This year, I didn't use a tarp or tent, and I could set it anywhere. I needed to find a flat spot or dry spot. It was especially demanding this year, and you sleep better. On the other hand, you are all the time with better contact with the nature all night. So I love this very much, and I hope I will use it on my next trip if I will be on the trail under the tree line.
And how many pairs of shoes did you need this time? I think you actually destroyed one pair and had to replace it.
Well, as many long-distance trail hikers, I use running shoes instead of heavy boots, and their lifespan is about 1,000 kilometers. So I changed mine after 1,200 kilometers, yes, only as a precaution. And the other pair of shoes which was the same brand, but from the new series, proved bad. So they started to tear after 500 kilometers, and after 700, they were ruined. So I put on the old pair and I finished it with it. But generally, you have to count one pair per 1,000 kilometers.
You always cover your journeys on your blog called Jakubův cestovní deník, and the two previous US hikes, the blog that you wrote was then released in a printed edition. So do you plan to do the same thing with the Czech journey?
Well, it's a fresh news. I just agreed with my publisher yesterday, so there will be another book about it.
And what about the Appalachian Trail? I guess this is still a plan that you want to carry out.
It's a still dream. You can't tell for sure what's in the future, but yes, it's a dream, and I feel it as unfinished business. So yeah, I hope the Appalachian Trail will happen soon.
Czech long-distance hiker Jakub Cech was speaking to our colleague Ruth Frankova. And that's it for today's program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. The full broadcast is on our webpage. That's at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. Meanwhile, if you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Until next time, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the entire Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.